If you haven't seen the 1999 Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace, well, I guess you're like my buddy J-Man here, and you kind of lived under a rock for a while, because pretty much the majority of the world has all watched this. And I just feel like, I don't know, man, how many assholes are here? Because I feel like I'm pretty much surrounded by a bunch of I'm surrounded by assholes. All right, well, everybody ready? Let's start the show.
Here, Tom Thompson, Adventure Begins. An exciting spectacle brought to you by NOW and Technicolor Podcast.
Jump into the heat, spinning on our feet, in a Technicolor beat, you and me, caught up in a dream.
Hey everybody, and this is Jay Lost Today.
This is J-Man.
I'm Smashley.
All right, everybody, and this is Now in Technicolor, and how's everybody doing? How's it going?
Pretty good, pretty good. Drinking some wine, but I'm not Smashley like last time.
What kind of wine are you drinking?
Stonehouse, which is the best.
Orange squeezed.
And it's marvelous. It's basically like a mimosa in a wine bottle, kind of.
It's grape wine.
It's pretty fancy. It's like grape wine with some orange in there.
Yeah, just completely like just covered up in orange fucking flavor. Like it's the it's like a clear orange color. It's crazy.
It is. It is. It's wild.
We're drinking Lagunitas.
The Waldo Special Ale.
Man, this Waldo, man, there's a whole story to this shit. And if you go look on their Instagram or their website, it has it on there. And it's supposedly about like four dudes traveling and going around to get like the hoppiest fucking beer and getting into like trouble and all kinds of stuff. Like, and it has something to do with 420 as well.
Yeah.
Like it's tied into that as well. And like, you know, potentially having some stuff with some grass and stuff. And it's a whole thing. You should go check it out on their site.
I need to actually sit down and check that out. That would be cool.
It's called the One Hitter Series.
It is. It is.
And every year they do a different version. And I've only had one other version. I think I may have had two. One was in a growler. And then I think we did a six pack one time.
Yeah, we did a six pack one time between me and you, like I said, last year. And last year it was actually like super fruity.
Oh my goodness. This shit's 11.9%.
It is. It is.
Oh, y'all are
I've already drank one of them.
I'm on my third one.
Lit up. And you're on your third one. So, I mean, you're nice and toasty.
But somebody's got to be.
I'm telling you, I mean, somebody's got to be. You're usually a little head on me.
But if anybody is around this beer, we literally got the last six pack around here. We're in the middle of like Tennessee, kind of like a rural area. So our beer selection is kind of limited. So it's probably you probably see more of them out in other places. But literally, if you see this motherfucking beer, you should grab it, especially if you like hoppy stuff.
Oh, yeah. It's great.
If you like hoppy stuff, you need to grab it and you need to drink it now. It's definitely a treat. It's only $11.99 around here.
Yeah.
So it probably tops out around 13 or 14 around in other places where the economy's better.
The economy is much better. I don't know. I mean, I heard somebody say like their electric bill was like $500.
Good Lord.
And I was like, holy God. And that was regular.
Yours run?
It's got my electric bill. It's $149.
Ours runs around two. That's not bad for our house.
Yeah. I mean, my house is considerably half the size of yours, though. Well, it's not quite half the size. I mean, literally, I'm well over exaggerating.
Well, yeah, but yeah, it's only about two around. We're pretty concerned. We keep it around 72.
Yeah, that's pretty solid. I keep it around the same.
I actually bumped it up to 75. But literally, I mean, I guess.
My kids aren't as old as y'all's, and I don't.
We got a baby. Well, you got a baby.
Yeah, I got a baby. But it's just literally, I guess, I don't have as much shit in my house running yet.
Yeah.
Like, literally, that's probably a lot of what it is.
Yeah.
I don't have as much shit running yet. Because usually, like, during the winter, my fucking electric bill is almost damn near $300.
Ours wasn't that much. Ours never got that little.
Ours was probably like
about $250.
Like, it was only like $300, and I'll tell you exactly why it was like $300. Because they were like, "Oh, I'm cold." And
yeah, you're wasted.
Oh, and like fucking just like, oh, I'm cold. And fucking
you're cold.
Like running a goddamn heater.
You're cold as ice.
You sound cold.
Like cold as ice.
Sacrifice.
But yeah, bro. Yeah, man. We went on a big tangent.
We're big tangent. Right,
we should get into the. We should get into the first segment.
Yeah, into the first segment, like one of our favorite segments. J-Man's Star Wars Spoiler Spectacular Corner.
Oh man, let's go into the Star Wars stories of the past couple of weeks. Good Lord, there's so much to talk about. But I'm not going to go too in-depth on several things because, you know, there's so much that's happened because there's this huge Star Wars celebration. And I know everybody tuned 40 in.
40 years.
40 years. I know everybody watched the trailer.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Everybody. I know I've seen tons of podcasts through there.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them. Everybody's talking about the Star Wars trailer.
How could you not? And, you know, I think, you know, you got to see a lot of cool shit in there. And there was, you know, they showed those books.
Yeah.
Those books are supposed to be a huge deal. And those are supposed to be the ancient artifacts that have supposedly swayed Luke Skywalker to thinking that everything he's been taught is wrong, pretty much.
I mean, I could see that.
That's what those books are supposed to be. And they're supposed to be in that tree that I've talked about several times. That's where it's all supposed to be going down, pretty much. And, you know, you see Rey training. You see Rey really using the Force. Using the rocks, everything like that, doing a lot of lightsaber training. You see brief bits of Kylo Ren up, man. You see Finn for just a second. And
He's only like briefly
in like a chamber or something, which, you know, makes me think, you know, like that's what they did to Darth Vader.
Yeah, he wasn't, well, you know, like when it ended, of course, that's kind of like how you left, you know, Rey's at his bedside and upset.
It looked like he was like in a chamber getting like, you know, pumped up or some shit.
Yeah, I mean, possibly. I mean, could be like some sort of a healing chamber of sorts.
Like there's so much crazy shit, you know, at the end of the trailer, you have Luke saying that the Jedi must end.
Yeah.
And everyone's freaking out about that.
Well, here's the thing. I, like a number of other people I've talked to, believe it's a philosophical ending. More or less, not so much like an actual like end of the Jedi, but an end of the way the Jedi are now.
I feel like they're wanting to transition more towards the gray Jedi. And I think they want to go more towards winning the battle instead of being necessarily good or evil. And using whatever techniques they need to use to win.
Definitely.
And I feel like that, I guess Rey possibly is going to be the one that's going to be the one that's like, you know,
possibly the actual balance.
Yeah.
To the actual Force.
Because, you know, in the poster is very reminiscent of the first.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
The New Hope poster with, you know, with Luke and the lightsaber going in the air and the whole beam and whatever. So the poster looks great, man.
The poster looks fantastic. I've seen a lot of changes to that poster.
Like trolls?
No. Just people using the poster to like create their own gifts and things lately. And some of them been actually really good. They look really cool.
Well, like in the poster, man, like, you know, it shows Kylo, it shows Luke, it shows her. You know, that shit's on eBay. They gave a poster to everybody at the Star Wars show, and people have put those shits on eBay, and they're like so expensive now.
Oh, I bet they
hundreds
are.
Of dollars already.
But you know what I feel like? If you went ahead and just instantly went and put it on eBay, you're a jackass.
That is a fucking dick move, man.
That is a super dick move.
Let me see. What else briefly do I want to talk about on here? They called in fucking Samuel Jackson. Mace Windu was there on the fucking screen. Woo. And to me, why would they bring him in on screen if he's not going to do anything Star Wars related again? So that,
I mean,
definitely.
Come on now. He's going to be there. There's going to be something about him, and there's going to be something with Mace Windu, because they don't just bring people out for no damn reason.
There has to be some type of throwback with him at some point.
Yeah, there has to be a link of some sort that they're going to like play. I mean,
Star Wars likes to fuck with people.
Yeah.
Dude, Samuel L. Jackson is too fucking cool not to use.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, Sam Jackson is like the man.
Just the straight up fucking dude.
Plus, he was already Mace Windu. They're going to use something for Mace Windu. Got to bring back the man.
He's just the dude, man.
He is. He's the dude. He is the go-to man.
Supposedly the Obi-Wan movie might be announced at this next Disney celebration. This, May the 4th with be with you.
Yeah.
And, that's what you were talking about. This new Star Wars celebration deal, you know, not new, but, they do it every year.
Yeah.
May the 4th be with you. May 4th.
Supposedly that's going to be the one that comes. It's going to be the one that comes out in 2020, and that, and they're going to release the Han Solo title soon as well.
She'll be hearing something about the Han Solo title, and like you said, possibly the Obi-Wan trailer dropped in May the 4th.
Not trailer, but the actual announcement.
Oh, the announcement.
Yeah.
Announcement. Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, because it's been under like wraps. It's kind of been hush hush for a while.
The 2020 movie
hasn't been announced.
You know, it's been bounced around about Yoda. It's been bounced around about Obi-Wan, Boba Fett. The Boba Fett thing was really strong for a while, but it's kind of like stalled because I don't think they know exactly which way to go with it. Like, you know, Boba Fett's such like a small, he's such a small character, really. On the Star Wars thing, you know, I mean, he was badass as fuck, but he didn't do a whole lot.
Yeah, I mean, he really didn't do a whole lot.
So,
I mean,
like,
he just kind of came in, looked really fucking cool, did just a tiny bit, and then died.
He's so badass in people's eyes to hash out his story, man. That's so risky. Like, you can piss off a lot of people so quick.
You could.
Because Boba Fett is just like on this fucking level of like epic bounty hunter that you don't know shit about. Like, that's pretty much like what he is.
Pretty much.
You don't know much about him, you know? So it's just crazy. And then last thing I want to touch on, really, I guess Star Wars Battlefront 2. This is on the video game thing.
Right?
But good Lord, that game looked awesome. You got every era of the Star Wars characters, every era, man.
Man, Darth Maul.
Dude, he looks badass as fuck. You're going to get to play as Chewbacca, Kylo Ren, every fucking body you've ever wanted to play. This is what I was wondering. Do you think there's going to be like little Anakin or like Hayden Christian's Anakin? Do you think he's going to be in there? That would be crazy.
Well, I mean, I don't see why not.
How crazy would that be?
Well, I mean, he's been in other renditions of the other games and other games. As a matter of fact, Jake Lloyd has been in other.
The Pod Racer. Games
for the Pod Racer, you know, Pod Racer and different things. That was actually a solid game, man. Solid game. But since we've already touched on all the nice hot facts here, because that fucking Star Wars game does look fucking hot and straight up smooth, boys.
It's a good looking game.
I'm telling you. We're going to move all the way into the flashback. All right, everybody, and we're going to hit this flashback. As a matter of fact, we are doing Spaceballs.
Fire a warning shot across her nose.
What's going on?
It's either the 4th of July or someone's trying to kill us.
Hey, I don't have to put up with this. I'm rich.
What are you doing?
I'm calling my father. 1-800 Rui the
Careful, you idiot! I said across her nose, not up it!
Sorry, sir. Doing my best.
Who made that man a gunner?
I did, sir. He's my cousin.
Who is he?
He's an asshole, sir.
I know that. What's his name?
That is his name, sir. Asshole. Major asshole.
And his cousin?
He's an asshole too, sir. Gunner's mate, first class, Philip Asshole.
How many assholes we got on this ship, anyhow?
Yo!
I knew it. I'm surrounded by assholes.
Keep firing, assholes!
Oh, this is fucking great. This is one of the funniest movies. As a matter of fact, we had a discussion previous to this and we actually decided that Spaceballs is and will always be the greatest parody movie ever. I mean, someone try to tell us something else.
Oh, well, not even try. I would like to hear some other people's opinions, you know, because I couldn't think of any other ones besides like Scary Movie and then like, you know,
Well, like I said,
I feel like Rob Zombie's Halloween 2 is kind of a parody because it's so bad.
Yeah, that's a pretty good, that's actually hilarious, man. Like I said, earlier when we were talking about like a Kentucky Fried Movie, that's technically a parody movie. And then
basically
it's made up
Mel
of a bunch
Brooks.
Of skits and shit. And then everything past that was like Mel Brooks past
yeah,
the scary movie
just
thing.
Mel Brooks, everything.
Just Mel Brooks.
Mel Brooks is fucking hilarious.
About. It's almost like when it's synonymous with like music parodies. You think music parodies, you think Weird Al.
Yeah.
You think movie parodies, you think Mel Brooks.
Weird Al's a fucking icon, man. He's got a box set coming out.
He does.
Everybody
he does.
Go out there and grab that shit. $300-$400. Throw it down for the man.
I wish I had that amount of money. Tell you what, I want me one of them box sets.
It's a quality box set.
I'm telling you. When you told me what it was all in there, I was like, God damn.
But this Spaceballs, man, this was like a star-studded movie, really.
It really is, man. It's so great.
It really is wonderful.
So many fun lines in there. Mm-hmm. And not only is it just like parodying Star Wars, but it's also like touching on Star Trek and
Alien.
Alien there near the end. And, it, you know, like the WB thing there. It's fucking hilarious.
Well, there's so many like people in here like you can relate, like growing up watching this movie. Because it's almost 30 years old come June 24th of this year. It will be 30 years old. So growing up watching this movie, there's like so many people who were like in so many other things, you know, like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids with his dark helmet. And like growing up, I almost believe that Spaceballs was actually like the fourth Star Wars movie, like that it had came out and like, I mean, just because it was so similar, I didn't realize that they were doing a parody. I think like my first couple times watching that movie as a kid, and then I was like, oh, this is definitely similar, but definitely not. And so it was.
See,
really
for me,
funny.
It's funny because like I didn't even watch any of the Star Wars movies really until later on, until the last few years, because
yeah.
I haven't really watched any movies. I didn't watch shit.
But this
except
is actually
for, like,
a movie you did see.
This is a movie I did see because I was at someone's house and they were like, "Have you seen Star Wars?" And I was like, "No." And they were like, "Well, watch this."
And they're like, "Who cares about Star Wars? Watch
yeah,
Spaceballs."
And I watched this and I thought it was pretty funny, you know. And because Rick Moranis, you know, I had watched Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Yeah, so
indeed.
Yeah, and what else was he? Was he in the Nerds?
No,
he wasn't in the Nerds. That was
he's
the other guy.
Nerds.
That was the other guy that looks kind of like him.
Yes.
See, what else was he in? He was in Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
He's also in Little Shop of Horrors. And he's in Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Honey, I Shrunk and- the Kids, Strange Brew, Bob and Doug, Brother Bear 2. Actually, a sad story about Rick Moranis is that he actually stopped acting because his wife passed away. And I think that they have 4 kids. And that's the reason we don't see Rick Moranis
He did
anymore.
Actually quit acting in 2006.
Yes, because his wife passed away. That was really sad. And I think he decided to step away.
And then,
away.
Of course, there's a number of other members of the cast that actually have passed away since then.
Yeah, almost everybody's fucking dead.
Yeah,
and
except
the
for,
main
like, Bill
cast.
Pullman.
Yeah, and it's crazy, man. They
it's
couldn't,
terrible. It is really terrible.
But yeah, I think pretty much it's Little Shop of Horrors and Honey, I Shrunk the Kids for Rick Moranis and me. I watched all those.
I love
Flintstones, Barney Rubble.
Yeah, he is Barney Rubble in the
Flintstones. I watched that. Yeah, yeah.
That's great.
The 1994 version.
Indeed. The movie's pretty bad.
The first one. That Viva Rock Vegas shit, I didn't like. I wasn't much for
They're
that.
Both pretty bad.
They're both pretty bad, but I like that first one, John Goodman and fucking Rick Moranis.
It's still pretty bad.
Oh, it's terrible. It's fucking terrible.
But yeah, dude.
But either way, Spaceballs, man, this thing is fucking amazing. Like, it just, there's so many one-liners. Like, you get Rick Moranis standing there as a dark helmet, and he's just like, man, what the hell's going on? Who hired this guy? What is his name? This is an asshole. Isn't that kind of harsh?
Nah.
He's my nephew.
He's my nephew.
I can say what
And then from it. There, he's just like, wait, how many assholes do we have here? And all but one person in the entire scene raised their hand.
Man, the shit that I loved, man, I loved, you know, the repeated, they were breaking the fourth wall. The
yeah,
repeated
indeed.
Breaking
indeed.
Of the fourth wall.
Oh, dude, that was hilarious.
Like the movie, like we're in this part right now. And
yeah,
you know,
when they actually when they're like, oh, it's the newest thing. Instant VHSs. They're even out before the movie's finished.
Yeah.
And they have literally, like, if you actually paid it, like, did you see that? They had, like, Rocky goddamn 29
yeah.
and shit up there.
Yeah, they say, and later on they say Rocky, like,
they say Rocky
on, yeah.
5. 1000.
Yeah, yeah, later on.
So repeated that's
cracks on Rocky.
Speaking of,
they shot at Rambo too. So they apparently did. there's some heat on Sylvester Stallone there.
They're taking shots.
I wouldn't fuck with Stallone if I was Rick Moranis. That's not a fight I'd win, I don't think. God damn. Pullman either. Maybe John Candy on a bottle of whiskey. I think he may be able to put the weight into the punch and knock Sylvester Stallone's ass out, especially if Stallone's gassed too.
John Candy is a fierce man right there.
You don't want to fuck with that dude. Man, if he gets fucked up on some drugs, and because I mean, I'm not trying to throw I'm not no trying shade, to be
like
throw,
like talk shit about
but
that.
I mean, the man did drugs.
He did.
Any conscious person should.
I mean, I'm just saying that he would have probably actually knocked Stallone the fuck out, because I'm gonna be honest with you, he had a little bit more cushion to him. He could probably take a little bit more punishment. And he was already fucked the hell up. So he's going to beat somebody's ass.
I'm just saying, Hogan and Stone Cold aren't as cut up as Stallone. And they both fucked him up both times they filmed with him. When Hogan filmed with him in Rocky 3, fucked him up his thunder lips. And whenever Stone Cold did it with him in Expendables, he fucked him up too.
He did.
They both fucked him up. And they both got a little more cushion. So
that
I mean,
is true.
I'm not saying Stallone's got a glass jaw, but I might be saying Stallone's jaw's not made of stone.
Well, no, the fun part is, if I remember right, like, Stone Cold, like, what, like, fucked his back up, Stallone's back up, because when he tackled him, it just, like, fucking fucked him up. He was like, oh, man, I can take it. And then boom!
Stone Cold's a big dude, man. And John Candy is too. Went off on this crazy tangent of John Candy whipping Sylvester Stallone's ass. Because all the references of the movie, because there really is several references to Sylvester Stallone type movie, Rockies and Rambo. And that the chick, man, she killed it later on. Princess Vespa.
Come on now, like that whole day, just like.
Man, the shot. What a shot.
I have to make light of the fact that like all of the blasters in the movies are actually like M100s, carbine rifles, and they're not actually like Star Wars blasters. They're just like literally like these regular military rifles. They've added like a couple extra things to. And like you said, she's sitting there and she goes badass, and like that blaster goes from semi-automatic to being fully automatic.
They mess with her hair. She wasn't happy.
I'm telling you, apparently she had the ability to like shim a firing pin just by like simple thought.
That's the force, baby.
The Schwartz.
Yeah, may the Schwartz be with you.
What about how George Lucas loved this movie?
He did. George Lucas loved the premise of this movie so much that he actually gave them a deleted scene from episode 4 to put in the movie.
Which happens to
be the pod release scene. And the fact that you can't really tell that it's not supposed to be a part of the original movie is amazing.
I think it's great, man. What else is great from this movie, man?
Like the Winnebago.
The Winnebago is great. How the characters basically Luke and Hans combined.
Yeah, Lone Star. Bill Pullman's character
Pullman's awesome. I love him from Casper. I just love him as
Well, I find it Casper. Funny though. Yeah. Like, you know, Bill Pullman at this exact moment in time is an unknown actor. They had possibly suggested the idea of Tom Cruise.
And Tom Hanks. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, that is a ridiculous idea.
What if Tom Cruise would have been Bill Pullman?
And think about this. Rick Moranis was already on board for the project. No. He suggested John Candy be Barf. And
that was the greatest
thing about this.
He also
wanted Barf.
He wanted Steve Martin as Colonel Sanders, but they couldn't work that out.
Yeah, that would have been amazing.
It would have been great.
That would have been
10 stars.
Woo! It would have been. Out of 5 stars, we'd have gave it 10, because Steve Martin in this film too would have been fucking amazing.
That would have just been icing on the cake, dude. This is a really great movie, though. It really is, you know. I like all, you know, we talked about the breaking the fourth wall. What else would I like, man?
The merchandising thing, man.
They made the deal.
Because of the fact they made the deal where he couldn't actually put any merchandising out for this film, he made like this giant joke throughout about the entire thing about the merchandising, which happens to be like Mel Brooks's favorite joke out of the film.
Dude, there were so many Jewish jokes as well,
which he didn't much care for after he did, but then he does care for, which is hilarious because he's like, I really am ashamed of myself for doing this in the first place, but I'm really fucking proud of myself for doing this in the first place.
What about the dude that was in the Winslow Police Academy?
What is his damn name?
I know his last name's Winslow.
I always want to say Carl Winslow,
yeah. Winslow is amazing. As a matter of fact, he saved the production $1,000 by doing his own sound effects.
He is amazing, though. That mouth of his, it's just unreal.
That guy was fucking the greatest sound effects, like human sound effects machine ever.
He's still alive, so he still is.
That was great, man. And I really enjoyed that part, man. He really, that was one of the highlight scenes too, for sure.
Right.
Speaking of still being alive, it was just Rick Moranis's birthday, April 18th this week. So happy birthday.
I'm gonna be honest with you.
Happy birthday to Rick Moranis. That guy, I really wish he was still doing things. Like some of these people, like we're about to talk about episode one, like Jake Lloyd, he doesn't do anything. He's been in some trouble and shit. Like these people, I wish, they have so much talent, they've done so much entertaining things, right, necessarily. And like, I feel like they've just like got lost,
Their
life has taken over them, and it kind of sucks, man.
It does, but life does that.
It definitely does, man.
Life is always happening.
I'm telling you, this
Spaceballs, man, like the way it wrapped up and everything, the last battle, this lightsaber battle,
I'm telling you, the Schwartz lightsaber battle is fucking hilarious.
I hate when I get your shorts in a knot or something.
When I get my shorts twisted, let me put my foot up on your like upper leg.
In a twist of events, Phil Hartman has an unaccredited part in Spaceballs as Dink, who is also in, of course, Jingle All the Way with Jake Lloyd from Dun 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 Dun. The Phantom Menace.
I'm not saying he didn't do a couple roles, because he is in Jingle All the Way, and I happen to really enjoy Jingle All the Way.
Jingle All the Way is a damn good movie, and I think that needs to be a fucking flashback. Because I'm telling you,
at some point it will be.
As a holiday movie, it's a damn good movie, man. It really is. It's got Big Show in it.
Story. It does.
Sinbad.
It's got Schwarzenegger and Sinbad.
Big Show.
All of a sudden, now I want to watch First Kid.
Good Lord, yeah, man. It feels like I'm talking about a Hall of Fame.
Actually, I really want to watch the Cherokee Kid, but
I really want to watch myself talking about a Hall of Fame that consists of Sinbad, Big Show, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and Jake Lloyd.
Hey, I mean, I understand. Woo! It will definitely
happen.
Case
closed.
Case fucking closed.
Does that mean that it's time to get into...
Not yet. We got to get
a few more points.
I'm totally ready to talk about the Phantom Menace.
We're about to.
I'm like getting pumped up over here.
I understand that. This is going to be a heated discussion on the Phantom Menace.
I'm telling you, it most likely is. It most likely is.
Not that bad.
But seriously though, like they're doing this with the Schwartz, and come on now. He loses the damn ring because he's fallen for a bunch of dumb bullshit. And then, of course, Yogurt comes to tell him, I just got the ring out of a Cracker Jack box. It's a lot of bullshit, And
Mel Brooks is great.
Mel Brooks double roles.
He does double roles.
He's President Scroob, right? Scrobe.
Yep. As a matter of fact, the name that he goes with, President Scroob, actually is a play on
Brooks backwards.
Brooks, like roughly it's backwards. They actually kind of screwed up a little bit.
Yeah.
They moved the R
as well. They turn it around and move the R. Yeah. But as far as that goes, yeah. It's hilarious.
Yogurt.
And then Yogurt, because this is fucking great.
The fucking makeup fucked him up, didn't it?
It did. It gave him a rash. And the knees. They had to shoot the Yogurt scenes out of sequence. And his knees got messed up, even though he had the knee pads on. But he was like, I love that role. It was great.
Dude, walking on your knees, man. I couldn't imagine doing that on a consistent basis for like more than like five minutes.
Think about this. Like,
he's old as fuck anyway.
He's already old as fuck while he's shooting the movie. And the thing about it here is also, you got to think about the way movies are shot. He didn't just like sit there during like that 15 minutes and he was on his knees for like that 15 minutes. He probably was on his damn knees in that costume for like hours.
And to think this dude's willing to do a sequel now.
Right. I'm telling you.
He's willing to get back on his knees
now.
I'm
telling you.
That's a fucking
hardcore man.
That's a fucking actor, bro. But our homie Bill Pullman.
He actually pulls it out.
He finds out he's a prince.
Yeah, he does. He does. Right after they reference Alien with John Hurt in there reprising his role as John Hurt. Actually,
supposedly in that diner in the parking lot, you can see the Millennium Falcon parked out there. Supposedly,
I didn't double check this before we did the actual.
This
podcast.
Is a fact on one of those cheat sheets.
Indeed. But you know, like I said, John Hurt actually has the alien pop out, and the alien does the Michael J. Fox or Michael J. Frog. Actual impersonation where he's like, hello, my baby. Hello, my darling. Hello, my ragtime meow.
Literally saved J-Lost today's life. That it was did. Like, it brought him back.
It did. It brought
me back. He was literally on the brink
of
failure, and that saved the day.
Brink, that one Disney movie? What?
That's a good movie. That's
a great movie.
Resuscitation
of
J-Lost the day.
Oh, it's fucking great. But he finds out he's a prince, and then he comes back in that prince-ass fucking suit, man. That suit.
And he goes after this fucking wank, Prince Valium, which we haven't talked about him.
Yeah, we never mentioned Prince Valium, because let me tell you what, he's not worth mentioning. Because he's literally in the entire movie for what, about the span of 60 seconds?
Probably longer than Darth Maul in Star Wars.
I'm telling you, that's
burn.
Terrible. That's such a burn. Woo!
But this Prince Valium dude just keeps passing out.
He does.
And I mean, his name's Valium, so clearly.
I mean, why wouldn't he like keep passing out? His name is Valium. He literally... When she comes back, he's just fucking asleep. Literally, he's asleep.
I feel like this guy's not getting the job done.
He isn't. And if she did marry him, what is she? What, I mean, what when she wants to get laid, what the hell's gonna happen? He's gonna go to bed?
No, because she'll be Mrs. Valium, also passed out.
That's fucked up.
I have a concern about this movie.
Yes. And I remember this concern.
I need to bring this up.
Fuck me.
Okay. So basically, this Bill Pullman. What is he? Lone Star.
He is Lone Star.
Is basically a combination of Luke
and Han Solo.
Yeah.
So does that mean that him and Princess Vespa are half brother and sister?
Well, the thing is, I also kind of think that he is actually he's a combination of Luke, Han Solo, and Captain Kirk.
Possibly so, but okay. Does that mean they're third?
They might be thirds.
Does that mean they are blood related?
I think that they kind of lead to that. I think that. They play on that a little, but like with a giant question mark. I think that it's.
Well, I don't know,
it's
man.
Never
that virgin
confirmed.
Alert didn't really specify whether they were like related or not.
Yeah, it never confirms, but it definitely leaves it
we
up in the air.
We never mentioned Joan Rivers.
It leaves it up in the air.
Oh, yeah, man. Joan Rivers as Dot Matrix, the Dot Matrix printer.
Yeah, that was fucking hilarious. Of course, all you could think about was. One of our old jobs with the Dot Matrix printer and just how like that one guy and one of our old bosses was just obsessed with like 1980s technology.
Yeah, man. There's this big question mark. Like Smashley says, it's in the air.
Yeah, they just talk about it because, of course, Star Wars, it's a parody. So that's what happens in Star Wars. So they kind of allude to that. But they never really say yes or no ever.
And then we have Dot Matrix Printer, man. This movie, man, all around, like we said, this is like the greatest fucking parody, dude.
This is
the greatest fucking parody.
One of the greatest damn parodies ever.
And anybody should fucking watch this movie. And I would totally grab a six-pack and watch this movie. I'd grab a 12-pack.
I'd grab a goddamn case of fucking 40s. That's what I'd grab because that's how much I enjoy this movie, and dude. I love that rating. Ever since you said that, it's like one of my favorite ratings.
Here you go,
if
dude.
I love that movie, like that's my favorite thing because I love Spaceballs.
Dude, this is what I was thinking about on the ratings, dude. You got Go to Sleep, 40, 6-pack, case, K case of 40s.
I know, right?
And Okay, I'd give this one a case for me. I'd definitely give it a solid 4 case.
I would give it a case of 40s.
For you, a solid 5. I understand that. You know, I definitely enjoyed the shit out of this movie. I'd definitely give it a case for me.
Yeah.
Smashly.
I give it a case. I love Spaceballs. It's great.
All right. Well, for the flashback, we're actually going to implement the rating, which is solid. And I actually really enjoy that. So
I think we did that few times, didn't we?
No, we didn't actually implement the rating on the flashback.
Ta-da! We're new. So
I feel like that I have.
Like, I think we actually technically have, because I think we've actually lump summed it together a lot, because a lot of times we've really enjoyed the flashbacks. I think like a lot of the flashbacks have really been like top notch.
I think you've been wasted, bro.
I think I've been wasted a lot, but
Spaceballs is a go. Spaceballs Everybody go watch get a case it. If you don't know overall, why,
because
know
like
it.
The double cases is gonna bring me down for my case of 40, so it's gonna get a 4, maybe like a 4.5 somewhere around there.
Yeah,
but
yeah, definitely.
But God damn it, we are going to move where everyone is definitely here for.
You refer to the prophecy of the one who will bring balance to the Force. You believe it's this boy?
He can see things before they happen.
He can help you.
The Force is unusually strong with him.
He was meant to help you.
Anakin! Tell him to take off!
Will I ever see you again?
What does your heart tell you?
Are you sure about this? Trusting our fate to a boy we hardly know?
Anakin Skywalker, meet Obi-Wan Kenobi.
I sense much fear in you.
The boy is dangerous. They all sense it. Why can't you?
Fear is the path to the dark side. Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering.
Star Wars Episode 1, baby. The Phantom motherfucking Menace.
Woo! I love it.
All right. Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom fucking Menace. Coming from a person... Okay, both of you have prior Star Wars experience.
I saw this movie in theaters.
And Smashley probably saw it as soon as it came out. Or she didn't
of course.
See it in
as soon as it was released, I was watching it on my DVD slash VHS.
My dad took me to see this movie.
Okay, so I'm a guy that basically has watched all the Star Wars movie within like 2 years of time span.
Indeed.
2 or 3 years, okay? And that includes the new shit.
I know.
So I haven't even watched episode 2 or 3 yet.
That is
so
true.
Watching this movie in this close a time span, I think it is as bad as everyone else did, because everyone else waited for so long, and this movie is so different from its predecessors that I understand the backlash. And I understand, because like there was like this whole like aura of these characters that both got killed off quick as fuck. I thought this whole series, before I watched this first movie and find out that Darth Maul and Qui-Gon Jinn get killed, I thought these two dudes were in all these three movies. I'm like, all right, Darth Maul's a fucking badass.
You thought that was the story that they were like laying out.
Yeah, I thought Darth Maul was the first Darth Vader.
You know what's fucking awesome? Or you know what would have been awesome? If Qui-Gon Jinn and Darth Maul had lasted longer than one motherfucking movie.
That's true.
Supposedly, according to this IMDb trivia shit, so supposedly Darth Maul had 6 minutes of
actual
of FaceTime, like yeah. FaceTime on
That's
the TV.
That's insane.
That what? Is
he was
nuts.
The biggest picture on the fucking movie.
He was everything that they all of their movie posters that like were like
that doesn't.
Everything for advertising. If you went to the like movie theater at that time, I was in eighth grade and I was at the movie theater a lot, and Darth Maul's face was everywhere. I couldn't believe he just died like that either.
The worst part is that like He didn't even get invited to the motherfucking premiere necessarily. No one paid for him. He had to pay his own damn way and pay for his own motherfucking ticket to actually get to see himself in the movie.
I was like, I thought there was this fucking ridiculous devil looking dude with a is it Michelangelo with the staff?
No, it's Donatello.
Donatello, okay. Donatello's staff, fucking lightsaber, that was going to whip everyone's ass, who apparently was only in the movie for 6 minutes and got cut in fucking half.
Indeed.
A dude with a goddamn paintbrush ponytail. He had a goddamn little puffy paintbrush ponytail, and he wasn't even a master.
Okay, so
yet.
He hadn't actually passed the master test. All they had said was he was ready for the master test.
Okay. Dude murked the master and got taken out by the guy with the puffy paintbrush.
I watched this movie indeed, with J-Man.
Ray Parks was the Sith man. Like, literally, I guess he's a Sith, apprentice at this point. But god damn, he's a badass. He's such a badass, and they kill him so fast, and it's such bullshit. And the fact that Benicio del Toro was originally going to be this character, and then he was like, wait, they cut all the lines? Fuck this. And then they hired Ray Parks, who happens to be like an extremely great stunt, like an actual martial arts choreographer, and like tops with swords and shit, to play this character. And then they didn't even actually use his voice for the character. They had someone else voice in over him.
That shit was just confusing to me. And what else was confusing to me as somebody that just turned in and just started watching all this was Jar Jar Binks. Mm-hmm. And just like the whole, just everything he did, just like the whole, like I understand the comedic character because every movie has that. Like C-3PO was comedic in the other ones, and R2-D2 kinda, and you know, like Chewbacca has done some comedic stuff, and even Hans has done some comedic stuff. You know, everyone has had some comedic parts, but this Jar Jar Binks, there was no redeeming factor. Like, there was nothing.
No.
There was literally nothing other than like, sometimes like when he said Misa or Wisa, that was kind of funny.
Okie dokies.
All right, like I said,
If you were a kid, that would be kind of funny. But like overall, the dude never did anything. Like sometimes Chewbacca does something super badass, and sometimes R2-D2 saves a ship, and sometimes fucking C-3PO does something crazy. Like, dude, he never really did anything that was over the top badass.
He saved Qui-Gon Jinn. He saved him.
No, Qui-Gon Jinn saved him. That's why he was in a life debt.
Yes, and he says, you're my life debt. So he saves him, but then doesn't he save him in return? Never does anything
redeeming. He literally just stumbles his ass the entire way through the fucking movie and lucks into every fucking thing that happened.
He knew where the sacred city was to go find his
people.
That's
because he fucking lives there.
No, he said that they said that they go to the sacred city whenever something bad happens because they went to their original city underwater.
Recently been kicked out. Fled. I'm sure he knows everything about
that
society.
That goddamn underwater shit was some of the worst shit I've ever seen in my life. It was like a bad music video.
It was fucking
like
terrible.
When they were in that goddamn
in the little car. It
when they
horrible.
Were in that little fucking car, that was atrocious, and that shouldn't have never been. That should not be in films unless it's like a trauma film as a goddamn troll.
Yeah.
On humanity,
right?
Like with a goddamn fucking Toxic Avenger and like a zombie from Nukem High and like me in there.
Yeah.
Like that makes sense. But it should not, that should not have been in a Star Wars movie. It literally looked terrible. Like that literally, that one scene is like the biggest black eye in Star Wars I've seen so far. Like those people riding around in that fucking eggshell or whatever the fuck clamshell they were riding around in the goddamn in the goddamn water. Qui-Gon Jinn in the back looked fucking, it would look like a goddamn 9 foot tall fucking dude with this goddamn little computer dot in the front and this guy with a paintbrush in the back of his head. Like,
yeah,
it was just ridiculous,
you.
Dude. It was just ridiculous.
It's
like,
Picasso.
That was terrible,
it's
man.
Fucking great. Well, I mean, you know, Liam Neeson as actually cost him like an extra $150,000 in just the practical sets because of the fact that he was so much taller than everyone else.
He's a big fucking dude, man. Who was it? They had tried out for his role. Denzel Washington was one.
Yeah. Oh God.
There were several more. He had tried out for Morgan Freeman.
Morgan Freeman. Now that was hilarious.
Qui-Gon Jinn.
They had thought about. They didn't try out. I don't know if they tried out necessarily.
Maybe thought about it.
Yeah. And there were several other people. Kurt Russell was one.
Viva la Kurt Russell for life. I literally love Overboard.
Little China.
Overboard.
No, the other one.
What?
Pliskin.
Oh, Escape from L.A.
Yeah. Escape from New York?
No, the second one, Escape from L.A.
What about Escape from New York?
If I was to rate them in my own manner, I would say Big Trouble, Little China, Escape from L.A., Escape from New York.
And I would trump all those and say that Overboard is the best Kurt Russell movie because of Goldie Hawn and his chemistry.
Well, there'll be a fist fight after this podcast.
Yeah.
Pretty much. I mean...
I usually win.
yeah.
Smashley helps me beat John up, and then...
Well, it's only because it's two against one.
Oh, God.
But, no, seriously, though, this shit's fucking hilarious.
Oh, also, I know Hayden Christensen is not in this movie, of course, The Phantom Menace, but it was also his birthday this week on the 19th, so happy birthday to Hayden Christensen.
Christensen will be back. He will be in,
He's
8 hours ago.
Come back. I mean, I think we discussed
he's
this.
Teasing.
Like, the director or the guy that's like everybody involved with the new set.
He loves the first.
He loves the first one.
He loves the first three, actually.
Yes.
Well, not the chronological first three, not the first three made, but the chronological
first
one,
three.
One, two, and three.
Yeah. He's actually a big fan of these movies, and he doesn't understand the hatred they get. And coming from my perspective, I don't understand the hatred really, because I mean I think it tells a solid story, and like the whole Anakin stuff is cool, and like the whole like Darth Maul was cool, it just he died really quick.
All right, look,
and like Qui-Gon Jinn's cool.
I'm gonna honestly explain this from the point of view of me, someone that grew up watching the original like 4, 5, and 6. As a matter of fact, I still have the original 4, 5, and 6 on the original trilogy, like box set VHS that came out with like the original goddamn tapes. When we saw this movie, a lot of it is just the CGI is over fucking whelming. Jar Jar Binks is fucking terrible.
We've had a conversation.
Over fucking whelming. Because there's only like, what, maybe 15 fucking minutes of the actual real damn movie that's actually not CGI special effects. 15 fucking minutes. Whole movie. Of 2 hours, a little more than 2 hours. Whole movie, 15 minutes. And the 15 minutes of it that's actually just nothing but like real shit and practical effects is amazing. Like the fact that C-3PO and R2-D2 are actually practical droids going around with it is amazing in comparison to all the fucking CGI you see. But, I mean, that's my opinion. Now, I know Smashley actually has a different opinion of this because she actually enjoys Jar Jar Binks.
Well, kind of. That's the only thing. Is the one part when they go underwater. That part looks really bad. I think that it looks definitely fake. Jar Jar Binks at times when he is like standing with them and they're just doing other shots, not necessarily of him, like where he's speaking or anything like that, but like where he is actually just standing there. They should have had a Jar Jar Binks stand-in. They shouldn't have had that. There's no need for that to be CGI because it looks CGI. And I understand in 1999, this was a big deal. You know, this was really good stuff. So, like, for 1999, this looks really good. It's just watching it now, you kind of notice things that maybe you didn't. And even then, like, I never complained about this movie. I always thought it was a great movie, because it did tell a story, and the story from the beginning, like something you had never heard of, something you'd never seen. You're like, oh my gosh, this little dude's going to grow up and be, you know, Darth Vader, holy guacamole, you know, like, you, that's just kind of like, wow, you know, it's a story, and a story that you didn't know. But Jar Jar Binks, I do think that Jar Jar Binks looks a little off sometimes. And so they should have done better with the Jar Jar Binks. But other than that, the rest of the movie looks like a Star Wars movie. Like, it looks like, wow, there's lightsabers and zoom zooms and explosions.
Even,
and
the funny thing, they don't even say
lightsaber. They don't even say the word lightsaber.
It's crazy. They don't even say it once in the movie.
Well, that's because they're not talking about.
Anakin literally says light sword one time.
That's because he says he saw his. He was like, I saw it. You're a Jedi.
But, I mean, honestly, like, rewatching this for, like, the first time in forever, I realize now that, like, there is actually a story underlining this movie, and that it's actually, like, overall not really as bad as I thought. Like, once I removed the fact that of the Jar Jar Binks and some of the things, like, I can honestly see the story and kind of appreciate it a lot better. But I realized, like, I literally let my hatred of Jar Jar Binks, like, overshadow everything about this movie. Because Darth Maul really, overall, is really badass. I mean, like, the fact that he's only in there for, like, a short amount of time, I, like, that's the only part of it that's really kind of sucky.
Man, I think that I liked a lot about the movie, but the things that were bad about the movie were so bad that it just took a lot away from it. Like the droid army, like the bad guy army is fucking terrible. Like, stormtroopers are bad, but these guys were fucking bad. Like, these dudes didn't do shit.
They literally just kind of fell apart.
And like Jar Jar was pretty bad in parts. Like, some of his shit was okay. Like, when he pulled his army together, that looked okay. That looked like a early Lord of the Rings, you know,
yeah.
Now it looks kind of bad because, you know, our TVs are so much better now and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
But like, back then, that probably looked amazing as fuck. And I liked, you know, the Obi-Wan, you know, the early Obi-Wan, because Ewan McGregor did a hell of a fucking job.
He did.
Like,
he did.
Like the hatred for the movie sucks because, like, he really did a great fucking job.
I think not only him, really, but everyone. Did. Everybody, I mean, most really people, I did.
Ewan McGregor most did people a great in the job. Movie did,
yeah.
And I think Liam Neeson, like, overall did a really good job. Now, I think it's kind of funny, like, there's one scene in the movie, you know, where he puts his hand on Anakin's mother's, like, shoulder, and him and Lucas had an argument about it. Because, like, Liam Neeson's like, yeah, I really feel like, you know, it should establish some sort of, like, human connection between the two of them. And even though it technically would go against the Jedi teachings, is by what Lucas argued, but they left it in there anyway.
Well, I think that kind of is the thing with oh my gosh, I can't say his name.
Although, that's the thing, Qui-Gon Jinn.
That's what he says. Like, when they get back, he says, I'm going to do it anyways. He looks at Yoda and he's basically like, if you don't tell me that I can train Anakin, I am going to regardless.
He really does. I mean,
so he does what he
really
wants. He
kind of just does as he pleases.
Do you think that has something to do with Palpatine and Count Dooku that comes across? You know, I mean, like, just like the darkness that is them. Do you think that him doing that, have y'all ever thought about that? Like, him saying that is a defiance of what he believes
about
in.
This. I mean, what you said, I think J-Man pointed out that Liam Neeson's Qui-Gon Jinn is actually supposed to be around 60 at this point in the film.
Yeah, that's what the script
and,
said, apparently.
I mean, he's a fine-looking 60.
Handsome-looking
60.
He was only, like, fucking 30-something.
46,
I'm telling you.
Maybe so. But this was 99, and I'm just like, I was like, see Liam Neeson in the fucking shit now, and everybody talks about his hog. Joe Rogan's like, this guy's got the biggest fucking hog.
Everybody, apparently, in the world talks about it. It's
the,
like,
biggest putts.
I don't understand, but
they talk
okay.
about this guy's hog all the time, his lap dog.
His damn putts.
Well, maybe they can do a ghost of him. He could always come back.
Ghost of his putz.
Well, that and Ed Helms.
He could come back.
Joe Rogan loves talking about Liam Neeson and Ed Helms.
Well, that Obi-Wan.
He's like, man, huge hogs.
That Obi-Wan that you said that they're going to announce soon, right, that they're going to do. He could be in that, too. He could be the ghost of himself coming back to talk to Obi-Wan about stuff.
Nice, a flashback. That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, because he is, if you think about it, he was 46 then, and he's supposed to be playing a 60-year-old. So really, for him, he would look the part. Like, he could do a ghost of the 60-year-old quite, you know, he could be.
Yeah,
him.
I think that would be awesome. I think he deserves that.
Liam Neeson right now looks like one of those guys, kind of like Sam Elliott. He just keeps looking the same damn age for like the last like forever.
Yeah, he's aging or not aging very well, I guess. Like he doesn't.
No, aging extremely well. Like you don't get it. Like they look.
That's what about Nicolas Cage?
Sam Elliott, man, he doesn't age.
What about Nicolas Cage?
He does actually always look the same, except, I mean, he's got more of a receding hairline.
He's actually a vampire.
He is immortal. I'm pretty sure he's a Highlander.
He's actually a vampire. Vampire confirmed.
Vampire, eh?
Man, this movie, man, it told a hell of a story, I think, overall. And I can't actually wait to watch the second and third one.
We didn't even talk about, like, The love story. We had no love story talk yet.
We grazed over both movies pretty hard. You know, yeah. We got a lot of banter in.
We did.
And, you know, I think, you know, really, we're really just presenting the movie from our perspective and hitting the high notes for us. And what do you think that, what do you want to hit over? What do you want to touch on now?
Well, I like Padme because first of all, she's a gangster G and she hid, who she really was. So didn't even talk about her doing that.
That is actually kind of funny because Padme has a funny little thing.
Padme and the Queen, I didn't even know it was two girls. I thought when we were watching the movie, I thought it was all just Natalie Portman. I thought it was all just her. I didn't even know Keira Knightley was the other, like, the stunt
double. I just thought that was just a random decoy.
Shit. Yeah. Yeah. I knew that was the thing they were playing, but I didn't even know that, like, there was an actual person that, like, mattered there.
Yeah.
And I thought it was just some random chick for one moment.
No, she had a name and a part.
Yeah.
She was very important. Because she risked her life.
And the hilarious part is in the makeup that, like, Keira Knightley and, was it Keira Knightley's mother couldn't tell her or Natalie Portman apart?
Yeah.
And it was actually, she was like, oh, wait, is that my daughter? I'm not sure.
I don't know. Who are you? I think that'd be funny.
On a 4K TV, Natalie Portman's makeup while she is actually in the actual makeup for the Queen. The only moment she's actually, like, I don't know, necessarily in the makeup for the Queen during the Senate meeting, it's not as sharp as it is on fucking Keira Knightley. And I don't know if that's just because she always had that damn makeup on for every scene in the fucking movie that she's seen or just that 4K TV.
What about how there was
I don't know.
ETs at the Senate meeting?
Yeah.
There were ETs.
There were fucking ETs there.
Why were there ETs? There's a fucking dragon out of one of the windows.
At the very end, yeah.
At the end, like when they're looking out the
window. Well, not the end, but like whenever he's like, yeah, you can train Anakin.
Yes.
So kind of the end, yeah.
There's a damn dragon outside the window.
I read that and I was just like, what the fuck? I didn't even see that.
Why? Like, what is a dragon's significance? Yeah,
apparently,
like,
I guess it's a Game of Thrones callback.
Ooh. The mother of dragons.
Man, I didn't understand the dragon.
Apparently,
the goddamn Star Trek ship's in somewhere.
Yeah, the Star Trek ship is around the planet they go to. The C1 Katooine, something. I don't even remember the name.
Katooine.
No.
Katooine.
I'm putting a C on Tatooine.
that's what it sounded like. It was like Katooine's Tatooine.
Well, I think that it's very clear that Padme and Anakin have a connection of some sort.
They do. They seem to have some sort of connection.
It's an unspoken connection, and which, you know, moving on to, you know, episode two, which of course we haven't reviewed or seen yet, that is, you know, talked about a lot more.
Well, I mean, there's Coruscant a whole lot of stuff.
Coruscant is the planet.
Yes.
Coruscant.
Coruscant.
Coruscant. Okay.
So, but yeah, but they set that up for sure. I always thought that it was strange, and I guess because episode two hadn't arrived yet, so I thought it was strange. I always thought it was just like they were like buds, you know. But then when episode two comes out, I'm like, oh, I see what y'all was doing back there in episode one. I see what you did.
I thought it was a solid fucking movie to come back on from being like, you know, trying to write something from the get go. But I think that it was foiled by the overabundance of special effects that had just became available. I think it was well done for trying to write something to come before the first three, you know
what I'm saying?
Indeed, indeed. But like, dude was just bonered. He just had literally had a digital boner. George Lucas was like, man, I'm dreaming in digital, and it's all in my groin area.
And all
I'm telling you, like, he was just like, force boner for CGI, motherfuckers.
Like,
you have to, right now is where you should insert NSYNC's Digital, Digital, Get Down. Digital, digital, get down. Just you and me. Just you and me. 20,000 miles away, but I can see you. And baby, baby, you can see me. Baby, baby, you can see me. Digital, digital, get down. Oh, just what we need. Just what we need. Get together naturally. Then we can get together on the digital screen. Yeah. Right now, you should have that playing.
Hell, what I should insert is fucking Spaceballs. Cause what you got is what we need, and all we do is dirty deeds. We're the Spaceballs. Watch out, out. We're the Spaceballs. We're the masters of space. Hey, don't mess around with the Spaceballs.
We're dreaming in digital. Orgy. She dreams in digital, cause it's better than nothing. Now that control is gone, it seems unreal that she's dreaming in digital. She dreams in digital. Oh, God. All these bad songs. You can just do a splice of all three of them.
I think I'm just gonna splice all three of them in.
But overall, what do y'all give this movie, man? We got to draw from our bowl, and we got to do our little wrap up after this. So, you know, I think you know, we covered a few little points of the movie. You know, there's a lot to talk about when it's Star Wars.
I think so too.
But
we're actually gonna move into it, and we're gonna find out if we gotta lose it. All right, buddy, so we're actually going to find out if we're going to lose it. And you pretty much heard the fucking rating system about two or three times by now. Case of 40s, case, six pack, 40, or going to bed. So what are you going to give it, J-Man?
I'm going to go straight for the third, the six pack, going straight right down the middle. I enjoy the story. I think they did a very good job of presenting Anakin as like this fucking badass with this ridiculous amount of skill, natural born skill. I feel like they presented I feel like everybody was presented well. It was just overdone. It was just fucking just basically some dude, like I said, that had a digital boner because it was fucking, the world was, this was the first film in Dolby Digital. You know, the world's technology was exploding. So this guy just went crazy and put as much silly shit as he could in there instead of focusing on what brought him to the fucking game. And I feel like story-wise, though, I can't give anything less than three because, you know, the whole premise is great.
All right. Well, I mean, I think I'm honestly going to give it a six-pack as well. Because overall, like, on the rewatch, I didn't mind it so much. I actually kind of enjoyed it. I would give it, like, a middle-of-the-road rating. Jar Jar Binks still, like, really, my hatred for him really kind of, like, overshadows a lot of things sometimes. And sometimes I, like, literally, like, forget some things because I hate that guy so much. But on the rewatch, I was like, man, there was actually a really good story here. And the way it was overall presented really wasn't overall that bad. Just the CGI really fucking kills the hell out of all of it. But it's okay. Smashly?
I give it a case, which is like a solid 4. So I think that it was well done. I think for the time, the CGI was well done too. I think that, you know, almost 20 years later now, I think that it's kind of laughable, but so is most things, you know, are most things that we look at, you know, that we used to love back in the day or whatnot. You know, everything just changes and can't really do anything about that. I can tell you right now that, like, Rogue One is just fucking badass compared to, you know, the CGIs and all the whatnot. So, I mean, that just speaks volumes for, you know, where we are now. So, again, so for 1999, I give it a case because I just think that it is a good movie. People should see it, especially if you're a Star Wars fan. I don't understand all the hatred because it's part of the story and part of the story. It's not like a side quest story or some BS. It is the fucking story. It is Darth Vader. It is how he is who he is. And that is what episode 1, 2, and 3 are all about. And so I like it.
All right. All right. Well, then overall, the actual movie is going to end up with a 6-pack because of the fact that, you know, me and Jay, man,
process of elimination.
Process of elimination.
It's like a 3.25, I guess.
Yeah, it's like a 3.25. Maybe like a 3.5.
Whose
really.
Turn is it to pick out of the bowl?
It is yours, actually. Ha ha!
Can you pass the bowl? Okay, so antique orange shiny movie bowl is in hand, and we are picking from the movie bowl. I'm really uber excited, actually, and I hope I don't get something shitty that I don't like, because who cares about Jayman? Jay wants to take. And this just because I said that, karma's a bitch, watch. Karma loves me, and I picked Jumanji.
Hell yeah, that's a good movie.
Oh yeah, that's actually a good movie. Come on now.
Oh yay, I'm so excited.
I don't know so much about the remake that's about to come out.
Oh boo, no boo.
Good lord, the remake scares the shit out of me.
Oh god.
Every remake
scares me. It's a video game.
Instead of a fucking board game, it's a video game.
Then don't call it Jumanji. Okay, they've done Zathura, which I actually enjoy. I think Zathura was good, and like my kids like Zathura. I think that it's a good movie. Which is
similar. I don't even know what you're saying.
It's similar. Zathura.
I don't even know what the hell you're
it's
saying.
It's similar to Jumanji, but it's a.
Say it again.
Zathura.
What the fuck does that mean?
Z-A-T-H-U-R-A. It is a video, or not a video game. It is a board game just like Jumanji, where the kids are stuck in their house, basically their brother and sister, you know, and they play the game together, and they end up in fucking space.
I'm going to be honest with you, I never actually watched this
You
movie.
Should, okay,
I know
well,
what it is.
What
flashback.
The hell did this come out on?
A lot, well, it's been out
came
on
out
like
on
everything.
DVD, I know that.
It's out. Wow. We'll have to discuss this in, you know, later.
Good lord.
But the kids like it anyways. So, like, what I don't understand is if they're going to do the remake, then, like, don't, and it's not the same even, like, you're turning a twist on it. Just fucking call
well,
it something
the Rock's
else.
In it, so.
I know. So, it's supposed to be a big, big banger at the box office, right?
Yeah.
Because the Rock's the movie, the movie man now. Of all movies, people.
Yes,
so
he is.
We didn't. We actually forgot to get our listener questions this time.
We did. Now, I'm gonna apologize about this. I was sick for about a week, and it threw me off.
He got me sick.
I have one question, actually.
Do you?
Yes, from a loyal listener named Scott.
Oh, hey, Scott.
Scott, what's up?
He wanted to know what our thoughts were on a Labyrinth remake. That
Scott!
A Labyrinth remake.
Yes.
Oh, no. Scott, I accidentally bit your head off about this the other day, I think, but not really intentionally, but because my anger about the fact that you cannot have a Labyrinth without fucking the Troll King, and you can't have a Troll King if David Bowie's not alive, and so therefore, there cannot be a Labyrinth remake. Again, like we were just talking about Jumanji, if you're going to do something unique and original, and don't call it a goddamn remake. So there are my feelings. Sorry.
I also do not think that a Labyrinth remake is a good idea.
No, I feel like this is a terrible idea.
And I feel like this is something that's going to be fluffed up. like a motherfucker because it was something that was so original.
Yeah, I mean, really?
That,
come on.
That if the guy that made it what it was isn't in it, and he wasn't necessarily the only thing that made it, but David Bowie is a big deal.
Here's like something to this is the fact that this is really like if I mean come on now this is synonymous with like all of our childhoods, like anyone, even most of the people listening to this. This is synonymous with their childhood. They remember Labyrinth. They have seen Labyrinth. And
you can't fuck with that.
You just really can't fuck with this. David, you know, David is gone. The Troll King's gone. You
shouldn't.
This is a super iconic fucking movie. And you really shouldn't mess with it.
And talking about.
You can't. You shouldn't.
No, you shouldn't. Talking about horrible CGI from 1999. I swear to you, if they fuck around and put a CGI. Fucking, oh my gosh, David Bowie. I will, people are going to riot. I'm going to riot.
I'm telling you. You can't do that. It'd be fucking terrible. Ugh. But.
It'd be a gross misuse of film.
It would. I mean.
I would be highly disappointed.
And I can honestly see them instantly using way too much goddamn CGI because it happens way more times than not nowadays.
You hear that there's 14 Transformer films right in the.
I heard about this. And I'm.
What is 14 trans? What does that even mean?
It means a bunch of bullshit's what it means.
How's that even a thing?
I don't know. I don't. Who the fuck? Why? That's
more than Jason.
No, but like, all I can think is, didn't we already answer this question once with The Last Night? Which one's going to be worse? Either way, we lose with, Paul and Wayne from the Countdown Pod. They asked us, that question in a previous episode about that. And either way, I mean, you fucking lose.
That's more than Jason.
It's fucking terrible.
I mean, the whole point of like enjoying something like
that's more than fucking Mike Myers.
Is enjoying it,
even including
over time though, like you
like including
you can Robin kill something. Like
well, there's more Jason than there is Michael Myers.
Ugh. I mean, that's
this
true.
Isn't Transformers is trying to be like Star Wars, and you just can't, Michael Bay. You just can't.
Well, hell, I mean, what I mean was Saw up to like goddamn 19,000.
I'm not even sure how many Saws up to.
But all right, either way, people. This has been great. This has been hilarious. I apologize for not having been able to like get to the, like. Getting extra questions for the show. Next time I will be better prepared. That's my fault. Jay did lose the day on that entire situation. But I did recently release that episode with Dave from Super Movie Pod, Super Movie Bros. And you should check that out. It's actually a really fun episode. I really, really enjoyed talking to him. And then I have another episode, side episode coming out with Chris from MGT and had a really great time talking to him. We talk The African Queen with Humphrey Bogart and Katharine Hepburn. And yeah, I mean, that should probably be out next week. And I don't know. The next actual side episode is going to be set up with Bro Rons, Big D and Little R. And as a matter of fact, J-Man's going to be a part of this one. And we're going to talk about Clockwork Orange. And that should be out somewhere around the second week of May, but I'm not sure. It just depends on how the schedule sets up. And how's Last Real Hills? Where's that going?
Oh man, you can check out Last Real Hills on YouTube right now. And we still got some shit going on Podomatic and iTunes too. We're trying to move all the way over to YouTube. Podomatic has actually offered us a $200 discount to continue using them.
Really?
Yes. They were like, you guys really push the envelope and you guys like have a lot of fans. And we're like, yo. We paid literally $1,200 for the last 2 years. You can kiss our asses.
Right.
Like, I don't even give a fuck. We're just going all the way over to YouTube. You can catch us interviewing Eric Van Wagner. That was our last interview. We've got some little things going on possibly with Mr. Cisco and Paul London. Urban Heretic has offered a monetary balance to Paul London to try to acquire him. But this guy is like
next. Well, he is Paul London.
This is Paul London, and he's on the next level, and Urban is trying to actually get this guy seriously. So that's really cool. I really would like to talk to him. And he's a guy that probably, you know, gets paid for his podcast. He's only done one podcast in the last several years, and that was Kevin Gill. And Kevin Gill's making hella money.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Eric Van Wagner interview was up there. That was our last thing.
EV'd up.
He's a big deal. You know, he does his, he does Survivor. He does Celebrity Apprentice.
Lucha Underground.
Yeah. Lucha Underground. We talked about his Celebrity Apprentice. He just wrapped that up with Arnold. He said he's done with that though. And we had some talking about Arnold. You know, this is a guy that literally worked hand in hand with Donald fucking Trump, with Arnold fucking Schwarzenegger. This is a guy.
Yeah.
Like for real. Like,
no, he, I mean, true.
It's very crazy. True. And like, you know, I talked to him off the record about some things about Donald Trump, and you know, it's just crazy to hear some of these things, man.
I bet.
And it's things I can't say on here because, you know.
It's off the record.
Yeah, it's off the fucking record, boys.
I might have to cut this.
But yeah, man, the LRH is doing well. We're about to cut another one. We haven't cut one in two weeks, 3 weeks. You know, there was a lot of sickness going around, and I was just hanging out playing Nintendo, you know. Yeah,
well, I mean, J-Man with the immunity system of the Iron Giant.
The Grapefruit IPA immunity system. If you want to not get sick, drink citrusy beers.
It's true. It's very true. I noticed this.
You get hella citrus.
Well, fuck that, man. Like, that's what's fucked up, man. I got sick as shit, and then all of a sudden I drink some goddamn like orange juice, and I'm like, man, I don't feel sick no goddamn more. But yeah, no. As a matter of fact, you can also catch me at the Descent into Nerd, and then
tell them, Smashley, we're out.
Live long and prosper. We're out.
All right, everybody. Stay colorful. And we're out, apparently.
Tell them, Smashley, we're out.
Live long and prosper. We're out. Jump into the halo. Spinning on my feet. And attack the color beat. You and me. Another halo. Caught up in a dream. And attack.